You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
To a Monday morning here in New York City. This is First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. Nick Wright, great to have you back.
It's Friday.
But you had a very fun weekend.
Yes.
We saw you all over social media, thoroughly enjoying yourself.
We had a great time. Great time. Great weekend. Inducted 8 people into the hall. Tremendous. They got to work on them speeches, though.
They do.
I think they still
talk. Still going.
Yeah.
there's no music that plays to get them off the stage.
No. We're going to have the Sandman come next year.
We got a great show for you today. Lots of football to talk about. Antonio Brown is already missing time with a foot injury. Ezekiel Elliott, he's still waiting for a new deal, unlike Tom Brady. And that's where we start this morning. Big news out of Patriots camp as their quarterback of the past and present is now their quarterback of the near future. Six-time Super Bowl champ Tom Brady, who just turned 42 this weekend, reportedly agreed to a 2-year, $70 million extension, making him just the 6th highest paid quarterback this season. Yesterday, he tweeted, "I got a chance to hold my draft card a few hours ago. Never forget where you came from." See, what do you make of the deal that Tom Brady got from the Patriots?
I'm not surprised at all. Last week when we talked about it, we asked, was there concern that Tom Brady didn't have a deal? And I was like, no, because I thought that they would do something before the season started. And just like in Patriot fashion, they zig when you think they're zagging, and they create even more cap space. Yeah, they give Tom Brady the extension, but they created more cap space. And then talking to not only to Belichick this weekend, but talking to another New England executive, and this is how Belichick wants it. Like, he likes a quarterback on a friendly deal that now he can go out potentially and always get 3 to 5 quality football player. So they realize the Tom Brady situation is one of a kind in the NFL. They're trying to take advantage of the window that they pried back open and being in the last 3 Super Bowls, believing these next 3 years that they can get a couple more Super Bowl appearances. They were probably going to do it a different way, a different style, but I'm not surprised at all. Robert Kraft has 4 sons officially, biologically. But in his conversation, he always talks about the 5th, and that son being Tom Brady. Right now, you could see even this weekend, Jonathan Kraft is starting to have a more prominent role in the New England franchise. He was at the Hall of Fame weekend. I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. Bill Belichick, I don't know why we keep trying to make him quit. And I don't know why we don't take Tom Brady at its word that he's going to try to play until he's 45. And the only man that can stop him is Belichick. And Belichick doesn't have full control because the Kraft family, they realize how important Tom has been, not only to their overall development, their father in this franchise, and how Mr. Kraft got the $6 billion as far as net worth. Tom Brady had a lot to do with that.
And I'm really happy for Brady because it wasn't just an additional year. It's 2 additional years, which takes him 2/3 of the way to his goal of the age 45 season. So the age 45 season would be this year plus 3 more years. He's now locked in for this year plus 2 more years. To your point, C, he gets an $8 million cash infusion this year. He gets a cash raise, but they also, his cap hit goes from where it was at 27 down to 22. The Patriots already had, I think, about $9 million of cap space left open. Now it's 14, and you mentioned could they add 3 or 4 quality players. Or could they add one star quality player, a player that is available and that they've been rumored to be poking around at, and that's Trent Williams, the left tackle out of Washington who's disgruntled with his contract. Prior to this even happening, there had been rumors that the Patriots were a team that had been in contact with Washington. Now that they have extra money, could that be the fit? Or will they just keep that flexibility open, see who comes available, or roll it into next year? But this is good, obviously, for both sides. For Brady, he gets the security. And the Patriots, they know they don't have to worry about Tom Brady accepting a franchise tag next season, which would put them in a very difficult financial position. And if you look at their roster, they now have the following all locked up for this year and next year. Brady, all of their running backs, Edelman, and, of course, the rookie wide receiver, four-fifths of their offensive line. So that's almost the entirety of their offense that we consider difference makers. On defense, Michael Bennett's locked up. Dante Hightower's locked up. Their entire secondary, except for Devin McCourty, locked up. So you've got, with the exception of Devin McCourty and a guard, everyone that seemingly matters the most for the Patriots locked into this season and next season. That was the case a couple days ago, except for Brady. Now Brady's on that list as well.
We talked about it on Friday. The Patriots, they're all in on Brady and Belichick, but mainly Brady, because Belichick most likely will be there for a while. So they go, he wanted 3 years, they gave him two. Does that tell you anything about how the negotiations went or what his plan might be? Do you think they had long talks about what he wants and what they would settle for?
Yeah, I think Tom's had different plans than they had the whole time. But they're going to give the deal that's best for the organization. And they understand where they're at with Tom Brady. And I don't think that that third year is really that important to them. 45 doesn't mean anything to them. Two-year extension given the 1 year, that is 3 years to them. Like, will he be able to make it to 45? We're talking about his contract. I don't believe that that's that important. I do believe he's going to try. And there's a reason why he keeps saying that, the reason why he put on the added weight. He's going to try to play until he's 45. So the extension, it is a great thing. The pay raise is a great thing. And, of course, like New England, they're the best in the business. They create more cap space. And I think, Nick, you make a great point. This is the team you're going to see for the next 2 years.
Yep.
You might as well get used to it. This is what we're going to see. And I'm sure Belichick, he's going to tinker with it a little bit. But I believe this physical style for which they're going to play, the same physical style that won them the first three Super Bowls, they've been a little more finesse on the last three Super Bowls, but I believe they're going back to how they won those original Super Bowls and get after people offensively, going to run the football, going to play to Tom Brady's strength, keep the game close, have him win it in the fourth quarter. Great defense. I believe their defense will definitely be a top 10 defense, top 5 in scoring. They have the best secondary in football, and their special teams typically are one of the top 5 top-to-bottom units that we're going to have in the NFL.
And this is a moment where I think it's important to step back and think about what just happened here. The Patriots, well-regarded as maybe the smartest organization in all of sports, just decided it is in their best interest. It is a good move to give $70 million for players age 43 and age 44 seasons. That is impossible. That is, just 3 years ago, that would have sounded laughable, that we're talking about a guy not playing into his mid-30s, but playing into his mid-40s, and the Patriots saying, sign us up for it. Yes, it is a testament to the way the game has changed and players are aging, all of that, but it is truly a testament to number 12 and to the way he has been able to adjust his game, adjust his body, stay in shape, stay viable into what would be his third decade of professional football. It's absolutely remarkable.
And you wonder if guys like Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, maybe not Eli Manning, but some of the older guys that were sort of around at the same time are thinking, well, okay, look what he was able to do. He's now opened up the door for us to be playing into our 40s. All right, we'll talk a lot much more about this coming up. On the other side, can a healthy Antonio Brown lead the Raiders back to the playoffs? Keyword there is healthy, though. That's next on FS1. You can always check us out on the Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM. We'll be right back. We will get to Antonio Brown in a second, but first, another day of Browns practice, another one-handed catch from OBJ.
Ooh. Oh, he got turned around?
Oh, yeah, that was a bad throw there. Threw it behind him. Or quarterback's going to say, I threw it where the defender couldn't get it. So you had the double clutch there. You can see the chemistry building.
Yeah.
Practice after practice with these two.
Watch this,
Colts camp. Jacoby Brissett throwing it away. Look who comes up with it. The ball boy, one-handed.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good there, guy. I like that. I like it. He's paying attention. Didn't lose the other ball. Making sure you keep the practice reps going quick. That's nice.
I'm hearing.
Might be a Larry Fitzgerald in his future.
I'm hearing he's getting a tryout with the Patriots this week.
On to the dunk contest at the basketball tournament. Khalil Iverson absolutely posterizes the defender here.
Ooh. Oh, it's part of the dunk contest? So that guy just signed up to have that done to him?
Did his head just get smacked on the ground?
Man, that's stupid, man. Why is he in the restricted area? You're going to get dunked on if you try to go up in the restricted area. He's not big enough. Like, come on, son. Like,
watch
not the
this,
best.
Though.
All right, finally, Mo Salah thinking he's got a game winner for Liverpool in extra time, but Kyle Walker comes up with an amazing clearance at the goal line.
Teamwork, make the dream work. Amazing stop here. Tremendous header. Oh, yeah, that's going to be in the net.
Nice.
And then Man City went on to win in extra time. So this is a game-saving play in the 93rd minute.
All right, on to the Raiders. 7-time Pro Bowl wideout Antonio Brown. After arriving at camp in a hot air balloon, he has since missed a significant portion of time there because of a foot injury. He reportedly visited a foot specialist on Saturday. Could be back at practice this week. Now, AB's picture of his feet popped up on my Instagram feed this week, and let's just say my breakfast was over. His feet were blistering and peeling. AB's still smiling, though. All right, see, before we get to what this really means for the Raiders, can you just tell us what's going on with AB's feet so we can take this graphic?
I mean, I don't know. My feet look good. I came to the office this morning. People are like, Chris, we need you to diagnose this. Now, I'm a pretty good sports injury guy.
Yep.
I can see guys get hurt and predict what potentially happened. But to me, I know this, as far as your feet. Coaches used to always tell you got to take care of your moneymaker and your wide receiver. It's not your head. It's your hands and your feet. And in both of them, especially in your feet, you have poor circulation. So anytime you have any type of injury, any type of ailment, this right here I believe is some type of skin infection. Either he was wearing the wrong shoes, he stayed in water too long or something. That's not normal. You don't get that. But when you have something like that, a complication of your feet, it's hard to get the type of work in. Like, you can only do so much pool work. You can't get out on the field. You're trying to go to a new team, develop some reps, rapport. We just talked about OBJ and Baker Mayfield. But when you can't be on the field, like, it affects the overall chemistry. So I don't believe it's something that affects his season, but I do believe it affects how and what kind of start they get off to there with the Raiders with their quarterback.
Just real quick, the reason that when you first walked in, I asked you about it, is sometimes we see these things and your reaction is, oh, that's typical. Like, everybody goes through that in training camp, or a lot of guys do. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting that you, having done a lot of the same training routines that Antonio does, some of your former trainers or Antonio's current mm-hmm. trainers, that you said, no, this is an outlier. This is not something, no matter how hard you're working, that's supposed to happen. Dr. David Chow wrote an article about this former doctor, I think for the Los Angeles, San Diego Chargers at the time, now Los Angeles Chargers, said it was along the lines of what you said, that his feet were in moisture for too long, and then he developed some type of infection that will have to be cut away. Not great, but so it is not something that sometimes we see NBA guys and their feet are all mangled or it looks awful, but that is typical. That's just from big guys running and jumping up and down the court. This is not standard even for a guy working at the level AB is.
Right, and we know how hard he works out. You talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. He's there early, he stays late. So I think the assumption was, and we thought you would say, that it was just from the constant repetition, the cutting, the moving, but it's interesting to know that it isn't. But assuming he does come back and he is full strength, what is the ceiling for the Raiders and for AB with him in there in that offense?
Yeah, I don't see them above 8-8. I don't know if they can protect the passer enough. Are they going to have a running game? Rookie Josh Jacobs out of Alabama, second round pick. I believe he's a quality running back. I believe they're going to try to put a lot of carries into him. How good of a receiver he is out of the backfield, I believe, becomes very, very important. Who they're going to throw to opposite of AB, because he's going to get a lot of coverage. And does Carr, early in this relationship, does it force him to throw in the coverage and do some things that Ben Roethlisberger and AB, they did, and they did it successfully. But it's not the quarterback manual for how you want to get the ball to a wide receiver. Those things are developed over a long period of time. You start throwing in the double coverage. The defense knows you're going to do it. They got away with it in Pittsburgh because they had tremendous chemistry, and typically we're always on the same page. But what if early they don't have that? And what's AB's demeanor going to be? Because I'm just going to tell you, the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they run their organization, you guys might have thought it was loose. The Oakland Raiders is loose. So I expect...
What does that mean?
There's not as many restrictions on the players. And so I believe that AB is going to continue not only trying to be a good football player, but trying to build his brand with the Raiders brand. The Raiders brand is about being brash, man, personal fouls, penalties, undisciplined. Like, it's not just win, baby. That used to be it. Now it's a bunch of other things, leading the league in penalties year after year, or definitely being one of the top five. So I just believe that AB is in this pursuit to continue to be on the gram, see how popular he is. So he's not going to be on a winning football team, I don't believe. And I believe it's going to create a lot of frustration. Let's just see where that leads to.
And on the Raiders offense, this is where this season is something of a fair referendum on Gruden's system and on Carr the quarterback. Because you look at the offense, everyone knows how great Antonio Brown is. I like Josh Jacobs a lot, and he's one of the few Alabama running backs that we don't think was run into the ground while he was there. Mm-hmm. That he should have fresh legs, that he didn't have a huge workload at Alabama. We talk all the time about teams needing to upgrade their offensive line. They have a potentially great offensive line. Colton Miller was the first round pick last year, played really well. They brought in Trent Brown, remember, paid him all that money. Right now he's slotted in on the right side, but those are two competent tackles. Rodney Hudson's one of the better centers in football, and their guards are Gabe Jackson and Richie Incognito. Kind of remove him from the discussion if you can, because he's going to be missing the first couple games. It's an excellent offensive line, maybe the best receiver in football. I think a very good running back. Carr has shown the ability to, at the very least, be an above-average NFL quarterback. Gruden's supposed to be an offensive guy. You're going to have time in the pocket. You're going to have time to either, you're going to either have running lanes or time to drop back. If Gruden's system's going to work, it's hard to be in a better position than they are offensively this year. Now, defensively, they have a bunch of questions on that side of the football, but I'm really interested to see Carr in year two with Gruden, with a real wide receiver, with theoretically an upgrade at running game, with an even better offensive line. The offensive line was fine last year. How good can this offense be? Because this offense last year struggled to score touchdowns. Carr struggled to throw touchdowns. Like, can they score points? Because I don't think they're going to have a top 10 defense to where they can win a lot of games 17-14. I think they're going to have to get in the mid-20s on average in order to win games. In theory, they should have the personnel to do it if the scheme and the quarterback play along.
Quickly before we break, last year the biggest question here was really Derek Carr and which Carr we're going to see week to week. We weren't sure how much Gruden really believed in him and wanted him there. Do you have similar questions going into this year, and does Antonio Brown help that situation?
Well, I think that I have more confidence than typically what people have in Carr. I like the way he throws the football. I believe he's definitely a legitimate quarterback, but we're in an era where we got so many quarterbacks. Where is he? In the top 20? Top 15, he's going to have an excellent season to be able to repair his reputation. Having someone like AB, who has been one of the best, him and Julio Jones, the best two receivers we've had in football the last 3 to 5 years, it should help. Still a young quarterback.
All right, let's break there. Coming up, do you just trust Jerry Jones and the Cowboys to get Zeke, Dak, and Amari new contracts? Jerry Jones thinks so. That's next on First Things First. Saturday, it's a doubleheader on FS1. First, Bryce Harper powers the Phillies against the Giants. Then Nolan Arenado and the Rockies take on Manny Machado and the Padres. Coverage begins 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on FS1 and on the Fox Sports app. Time now for us to go viral. All right, Chris Carter, you were at the Hall of Fame weekend in Canton. Looked like an incredible time. The class of 2019 consisted of 8 all-time greats. You had Ty Law, who had his whole Patriots family up there. Here's Bill Belichick. Looks like he lives in Florida. Kevin Mawai added the finishing touches to his bust.
Oh, that's really cool.
Right there. Nothing was better than Ed Reed's incredible bust. look at that shot. Right
that's
there.
As good of a bust as I've ever seen, as far as true to life.
Yeah, him and Kevin Green, they added the hair aspect. Yep. Yes. Tremendous bust.
You seem to be enjoying yourself. Here you are talking to the aforementioned GOAT, Bill Belichick.
I mean, the whole football world's in Canton. You get these great opportunities, the behind-the-scenes conversations. We talked about the upcoming season. Troy Aikman's excited, our lead analyst here for Fox coverage on the NFL. My good friend Andre Reed. It's just so many just intimate little conversations. Guys are challenging other Hall of Famers. Shannon Sharp, who we lead to after this, him and Michael Irvin getting into a body contest.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, it was a tremendous week. I did a lot more hanging out this weekend than I typically do to nightlife.
Brought in a couple of your buddies from grade school that you have been friends with for 40
years.
Yeah,
I hung out with them. Yeah, had them hanging out with the Hall of Famers and everything.
All right, but pull back the curtain a little bit. Give us a little nugget, a little detail from you and Belichick chopping it up. Something for us.
You know, some Belichick has a lot of respect for me. And I was watching him because I came into the conversation. I was watching him talk to someone else, and he was totally blowing the guy off and everything. I said, let me save Coach. So I came in there backstage at the ceremony and everything. He's always very, very gracious as far as his time. Conversation basically is about physical football and what they've done the last four or five games of the regular season, how they won their first three Super Bowls, and some of his players that I love. Stephon Gilmore, Dante Hightower, very, very physical guys, elite and at their position. Yes, that's about it.
That's awesome. Good week. Stuff. Hanging out with your guy Warren Sapp, too. We saw that picture the other day.
Yeah, some of that for TV, some of it.
Okay, that's about what I figured.
Yeah. All right, time for some stories to start your morning, sponsored by Gillette Clear Gel. Over the weekend, Draymond Green agreed to a four-year, $100 million extension to stay with the Warriors. Golden State now with four All-Star players in Draymond, Steph, Clay, and D'Angelo Russell under contract for the next several years. Nick, is this a good deal for Draymond Green?
I think this is great for both sides. For Draymond, he potentially leaves upwards of maybe 60, maybe 70 million on the table, but he guarantees himself this 100 million. And I don't know if that deal for 170 was ever coming. And for the Warriors, they remove a potential distraction, which was one of my big concerns with the addition of D'Angelo Russell. How would Draymond react to this guy who's never won any championships or played any games with the Warriors coming in on a max deal when he was a pending free agent? So this is an excellent deal for both sides. Draymond gets the security. The Warriors remove any possible distraction. And no, they have Steph, Clay, and Draymond locked up long-term for the next 4 years each.
Yeah, good for Draymond. Draymond was in a tough spot. Draymond's not a max player. I don't believe he would have had 60 or 70 million out there unless it was someone with Phoenix where he's going to lose 50 or 60 games a year. No, he did the right thing. Staying there with Steph, with Clay, because you can't exploit his weaknesses as much because they're so strong scoring the basketball. Now they have D'Angelo Russell. He can be a specialist. He could be that Swiss Army knife. His best fit is with Golden State. Happy for him. He went over Rich Paul and Clutch Sports, and they were able to get this deal done.
And now a nice marquee when they all move into that arena to be have those names up there. On to the NFL. According to Colts head coach Frank Reich, Andrew Luck will miss at least another week with a left calf injury. Luck has only practiced 3 days since originally injuring his calf back in April, but he has been a participant in walkthroughs. CC, any reason for Colts fans to be concerned with this injury?
Of course. Any starting quarterback in the league, if they got a calf injury, you need to be concerned because you can't prevent it unless you try to put him in the shotgun. If we're in the season, then he might be practicing just a little bit, trying to get ready for the games. But, man, this is about perfecting your craft, even for Andrew Luck. His first healthy training camp in a long time. He gets a little nick, which we see all the time. But when you don't have those reps, they got a number of new pieces to that offense. Devin Funch is still building chemistry. Ebron only played one season. They didn't get many reps last year in training camp. So you want to keep building on what they got. Yes, this is something to watch for with the Colts.
The rookie Paris Campbell as well. Very limited time with Luck. Luck seems concerned. I read his quotes in Peter King's column this morning. He asked, are you worried that you won't be available week one? He instantly said no, and then he followed up with quotes explaining how he's concerned, how he's frustrated, how this happened in April. He had three MRIs. They said they thought it'd be fixed by now, and it's not fixed. So I don't think you have to sound the alarm bell yet, but it is something absolutely to monitor and something that seems to, at the very least, be frustrating Andrew Luck, who I think, if healthy, could be the league MVP this year.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, moving on. We just mentioned it on Saturday. Eight more NFL greats joined our guy Chris Carter in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. One of those players, cornerback Ty Law, five-time Pro Bowler, who posted over 50 career interceptions. Law spent most of his career with the New England Patriots and won three Super Bowls there. Take a listen to what he had to say about the Pats.
We created a culture of brotherhood and unselfishness that we displayed as we won three Super Bowl titles. Let's keep it real. We started. They even gave what we created a name. They call it the Patriot Way. But we know where it started, fellas. Together, we are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
That's great. It was probably pretty shiny up there. That's why I had the glasses on. It was pretty bright. So we just mentioned earlier that Tom Brady just got two more years to stay there in New England. Now you got Brady. You obviously have Belichick. How much longer do you think this dynasty can last there in New England?
As long as Belichick's coaching football, man, they're going to have a good football team out there. He understands pro football and the way it can be played. No one has the encyclopedia football information. Man, he went back to the 80s and 90s and got that Super Bowl game plan for the Rams. Sean McVay was like, where'd that stuff come from? No one does it better than him, and you give him more time to prepare, which the bye weeks become very important. That's why they've been so effective. Yes, it's going to be open. I believe in his ability to be able to coach even beyond what Tom Brady's ability is, because I think he can get a team into the playoffs even if they didn't have Tom Brady. Now, he's been in this unique window with the GOAT at quarterback, but they've had several different styles. They've had all different type of coaches move, all different types of players move. The only constant has been Brady and Belichick. And you have seen last year when they couldn't throw the ball, they went to a more physical attack, running the football, playing to their defense. He will coach to the roster that he has. So as long as he's there, I believe the window will be open to win a championship.
What we saw from them last year, I thought, in the last two games of the season, a perfect example how, without the other one, individually, each of these guys would be really good. But it's the two guys together that, to me, make them the champion. In the AFC Championship game, Belichick couldn't have won that game without Tom Brady. And without Tom Brady, third and five with less than a minute left, 25-yard pass down to the goal line in overtime, three third and 10 plays, Edelman, Gronk. That takes greatness at your quarterback position. And Tom Brady in the Super Bowl could not have won that game without Bill Belichick's game plan, holding the Rams, one of the highest scoring teams in the NFL all year, to 260 yards total, two rushing first downs. So I think, let's just assume Belichick coaches past Brady's career, which I think is a safe bet. I think they'll continue to be a playoff team. I think they'll continue to be good. But this level of championship excellence, to me, ends when the partnership ends. What's the comparison that's always made to the Patriots is Duncan and Popovich in the NBA. Since Duncan retired, the Spurs have been good. They've been to the playoffs. They made a Western Conference Finals even. But they have not been a championship-caliber team since they lost that great player, even though at the very end of his run, he was not the best player in the league as he was early, similar to Tom Brady. So I guess it depends on how you define dynasty. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I think there's too many moving parts in football. I got into a great conversation with John Calipari and Jimbo Fisher during the event We Have Mutual Friends. And Jimbo is always talking about how much more he has to know to do his job than Coach Cal has to know. Because if you have someone like Duncan, and the reason why I disagree, because Brady doesn't play defense. He doesn't play special teams. He didn't kick any of those field goals. And when we talk about Brady trying to, okay, well, Belichick couldn't have done it without Brady. Well, Belichick still had the defense that kept him in the game. See, Brady doesn't affect the roster like Belichick does. That's why I have to disagree with you as far as Tim Duncan, because the guy who's the 53 man on the roster, Belichick has an effect on him. Tom Brady doesn't. No matter what, this guy's running down on kickoffs, running down on punts. Tom Brady can't do anything to help him do his job. But Belichick comes up with a scheme, puts him in the right position, puts other guys so where his weaknesses won't be exploited, and specifically marks out a task for him to do, something that he can accomplish. So how he affects the rest of the roster and his effect on the game is totally different than basketball with one player, with Pop. There's so many other things that he's got to be able to do to have an effect. That's why I believe he will always be effective in pro football and believe that he can win with it. When they got Matt Castle as the quarterback, they won 10 games, right?
11.
Yeah, 11 games. That right there speaks to his great. And I think he's understood football a lot better in these last 15 years. And I believe that what he's learned with Brady will allow him to go on and coach a variety of different styles.
Oh, and I think it speaks to Belichick's just universally accepted greatness that I think most people fully believe that if Brady were to retire this year, next year, whenever, the Patriots will still be right there in it. But you say all the time, see a great quarterback in this league. The great ones are worth 3 to 4 wins, something like that. And so even if Belichick makes it to where he can make a mediocre quarterback worth 1 to 2 wins as opposed to the 3 to 4.
Yeah.
One of the reasons the Patriots have been to 9 Super Bowls is because they never play in the first round, because they always have a bye, because they have home field advantage. And even, and we bring up that 11-5 team the year Brady tore his ACL. 11-5 is one way to look at it. The other way is they were 16-0 the year before. So they went from the greatest regular season team ever to -5 wins. So I don't think the Patriots era, meaning like, all right, cross them off, now all of a sudden the Jets and Darnold are going to run the division. I don't believe that. But I think it is the combination that has made them the dominant force. And I think it's very, very tough.
I'm just going to always skew it because I know. I had too many conversations with head coaches. And I know all the great quarterbacks that played the game. I know the effect and lack of effect that they have on the real roster and on winning. I know that it's slanted. You might want to give Brady, even if you're being generous, giving him 40% is giving him too much. Because what Belichick, the mentality, the do your job, that's not Tom Brady. Practicing in the cold, on unpleasant conditions, you think that's Tom Brady? No. It's such Belichick and what they do and how the front office operates. It's so much Belichick. To me, I'm going to say it's 70-30. Belichick with the 70, Brady with the 30.
We keep talking about the Patriots up here and everyone else is just so far down. If this dynasty were to end, who's the other team out there in the league right now with the intangibles to be the next dynasty?
Oh, I don't think we will ever see anything like this in pro football again.
There's no team that's even close
to being able to touch this? No, because you did have to have the perfect storm of it. Like you mentioned in 70-30, whatever the percentage is, you had to have the perfect storm of the greatest and the greatest at the two most important spots on the team.
Yeah, you also have to have an owner that believes, I'm getting ready to trade a draft pick because this guy is just as valuable. I'm getting ready to turn the organization over. I'm going to grow with him. We're going to stay together. Yeah. We're going to groom this quarterback that we're going to get on a low budget salary for 10, 15 years. No, it's not possible. Never will happen again.
All right, let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys, who will apparently never be the Patriots. As of the beginning of this very sentence, the Dallas Cowboys have still yet to sign their three biggest offensive stars in Zeke, Amari, and Dak. Team owner Jerry Jones was part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductions over the weekend, but quickly returned his undivided attention to resolving the contract situation in Dallas. Here's what he had to say.
You just know that, like so many things, it'll happen. It'll happen. There literally is no concern on my part at all about any time frame. That'll happen. The results are too good for them and too good for the Cowboys. Think about it a minute. The results are too good for them and too good for the Cowboys. That always happens when it's good, that good for both of them.
CeCe, are you as confident in these three deals getting done as team owner Jerry Jones seems to be?
Well, this is the thing. Zeke can't do anything else. I try to tell guys, you only got so much leverage. I mean, you hold out. What are you going to do? Play football? You going to make money doing something else? Ultimately, he wants to play football. The Cowboys aren't going to trade him. So the leverage as far as, oh, you know, they'll release it to, oh, go have your agent go work on a deal. That's off the table. So Jerry and them, they don't hold all the cards, but if Zeke wants to play, his only option is with the Dallas Cowboys. One thing you didn't hear in that soundbite, Jerry talks about, and I did talk to Jerry privately at the Hall of Fame. And Jerry talks about not only the three people we talk about, but he talks about a group of 3 to 8 Cowboys over the next couple years he's trying to keep. So that includes some of those defensive players, Lael Collins or the offensive lineman. What are they going to do with him? That's a decision that they haven't made yet. So Jerry doesn't want to, in signing these offensive players, limit himself as far as the other players that he knows their contracts are going to come up in the next couple of years. Defensive back, Byron Jones, like to get him signed. Those linebackers, both of those young linebackers, like to be able to get them signed. So right now, that's what he talked about to me. Zeke's got a number in mind of what he wants. We have a number of where we'd like him to be able to come in. They understand Dak. They understand Amari's situation is a lot easier. Amari's more of a team player. But Amari saw Michael Thomas get that $98 to $100 million deal that he got last week. So they're not foolish, but Jerry said it right there. They also realize this is more money than they're going to ever be able to make anywhere else. So we understand, and they got to have an understanding of where the team is and where they're going to go long term. I do believe they'll get most of these deals worked out.
And you mentioned Byron Jones. I think he's an important component to this because the way we've talked about it, it's like you have Zeke, you have Dak, you have Amari. If you get two of those three guys done, assuming one of them Zeke, you can use the franchise tag on Amari, for example. Well, that Byron Jones is going to be a free agent next year, and it's possible, in fact, I think it might be likely, they were trying to hold that in reserve in case they have to use it on him. That's a first-round pick who was an all-pro last year at a premium position corner where the Cowboys historically, it's not like they've drafted incredibly well there. They like what he's been able to do already, and he's not even, it doesn't appear they're even working on a new deal for him, which speaks, yeah, during the season they might try to get it done. Yeah,
I think they're working on 3 or 4 deals behind the scene because that's what Jerry alluded to.
Okay.
We only talk about those three offense, he said, but there's 3 to 8 players that we're working on stuff. I'm not going to give you an update on all of them, but we're working on a bunch of contracts.
And one of those names probably Jalen Smith, who's a pending free agent as well, one of those defensive players. Now he would be a restricted free agent. For Zeke, to me, the question becomes, we just talked about Draymond Green accepting bird in the hand this much money.
Yep.
Is Zeke actually going to turn down whatever they can get the Cowboys walk away offer to? Is he going to turn that down to play this year on a few million dollars with the fifth year option being the only guaranteed money he has left, knowing the health of running backs, the lifespan of running backs, and the question being, is it worth risking, call it $55 million, at a chance for an extra $8 million, for an extra $9 million? That's what he and his agent are going to have to come to terms with and come to grips with. For some guys, it is. Yannick Ngakoue, they offered him $19 million a year. He said, nah, I'm not doing it, but I will show up, I will come play football, and I will run that risk because he thinks he can break the bank.
He also had to report, too, if he loses another year, then he's not an unrestricted free agent.
Absolutely.
He had to report by the 6th.
Oh, absolutely. No, but my point is he could have accepted their initial offer. He could have accepted the $19 million a year. He decided, I'm not going to accept that offer, and I'm going to show up because I'm just going to bet on myself. I think there's going to be an enormous market for me. The other complicating factor for Zeke is even if he plays really well, and even if he were to just play out this contract, what is the market for Zeke after his 5th year when he would hit unrestricted free agency? How many teams put a value on the running back position the way this Cowboys team with Dak at quarterback with their Super Bowl window being right now will? Like, he might be Jerry's point of kind of it's good for everyone.
Yep.
I think the subtext to it is Zeke, yes, he's very important for us, but we're important for Zeke as well because as we saw with Le'Veon Bell this summer, there are some teams that say, yeah, we could upgrade at running back, but that's not where we want to spend our dollars.
Another thing to watch, too, as far as these contracts are, there's a lot of negotiating as far as the collective bargaining agreement. Salary cap's $178 million now. It's only going to go up. The TV partners are more than happy to ante up more money. So to me, the salary cap going to be at $200 million. So Jerry realizes that because Jerry is the number one money guy for the NFL. So if they can get these numbers at a good number before it spikes up, then you'd have room to be able to sign those other players. So watch it as we go throughout the season. They're having some serious talks about that collective bargaining agreement, trying to get it extended.
And then last but not least, the grass isn't always greener. And for Ezekiel Elliott, sometimes there is an advantage to staying with such a storied, great franchise like the Dallas Cowboys. You never know where you might end up. Yeah, making more money, but not nearly as advantageous to other parts of your career.
Sometimes that green grass ain't good for you either, Jenna.
I don't know as much about grass. You do. Coming up, can Tom Brady live up to his new deal? That's ahead on First Things First. Back here, First Things First, with the Pro Bowl linebacker, Bart Scott. How was your weekend, Bart?
Good, man. Been defending myself against Dallas haters all day.
Oh, yeah?
They hit me up. They know how to find you.
Let me defend Bart Scott for a moment. For all his bad takes, don't let him be a man that says he doesn't pay his debts. Just paid me with this watch. He lost last football season. Much appreciated, my friend.
Balling
he
on
got
the
plenty where it came from.
How do you think that little deal is going to end with the watch at the end of the
segment?
What do
you mean? He owed it to me. He just gave it to me.
And taking it from him.
Dallas fans mad. Chris, on Friday, he said, throw Dak out, bring in Teddy Bridgewater. Cowboys be just as good.
Actually, Teddy Bridgewater, younger than Dak Prescott.
Interesting.
Yeah. Didn't know that.
We are going to talk about that a little bit later.
The Chris that sat in this seat does not share the same opinions of the originator, Chris Carter.
Hey, it's Nick Wright, and hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is, of course, ZipRecruiter.com/approach. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/approach. That's ZipRecruiter.com/APPROACH. ZipRecruiter.com/approach. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Texans and Packers have some joint practices scheduled for today and tomorrow, ahead of their first preseason game on Thursday. Last season, Houston's Deshaun Watson quietly put together a great season, becoming just the 10th quarterback since the merger back in 1970 to pass for over 4,000 yards in his second season. He knows, though, that there is more to do, and he's looking to learn from one of the greats. Take a listen.
Aaron Rodgers, one of the best ever. Guy that I definitely would been looking up to and excited to be able to get up there to Green Bay and watch him work and watch and see how he practice and see how he, you know, go about his business each and every day. So I'm a huge fan. This is another opportunity for me to, you know, try to take my game to another level and, hopefully, a couple years down the road, I'm in his position too.
You know, back in 2017, the Texans and the Patriots had some joint practices. Deshaun Watson pulled Tom Brady aside, spent some time with him getting some advice from him, so you could see how he would do the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. But when you look at the best quarterbacks in the league, and Nick, recently, a couple weeks ago, you made a list, we don't often hear Deshaun Watson's name mentioned. Is he being overlooked as some of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, or at least in his conference?
Well, I think he is. I think he's one of the best, definitely one of the best young quarterbacks, and I think he's ascending. You know, the problem is he hasn't been healthy. You think about last year. They really done a bad job in surrounding and building around him to protect. Last year he was sacked 62 times. I think he almost had a punctured lung. He had to take the bus ride. Mm-hmm. About being a winner, you talk about being a leader, you talk about a guy that's able to improvise, to make those off-schedule plays, talk about a guy that can have late-game heroics. We've seen it all from him. You know, now it's just taking the next step is being able to get past the Patriots, which they've always had trouble with as an organization. And, you know, if Deshaun can take the next step and as Brady continues, eventually transitions out of the league, I think the AFC is going to be wide open. I think Houston will be right there.
I think that we should be, if he had the type of talent around him, when I'm talking about institutional talent, we should be talking about him the way we talk about Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Came in early as a rookie, took over, immediately is like, okay, this guy is a star. And a lot of times we don't give kids credit for what they do in college because that don't matter in the pros. But what he did twice facing Alabama, we need to recognize.
Yep.
Because Alabama, two of the best teams going against that Clemson, man, he took those defenses apart. He took apart a pro defense with pro players at his biggest stage. I'm talking about he dominated. There was a bunch of special players on the field, and he was the most special of them all. And then you come into the NFL, to me, he just hadn't had a John Dorsey. John Dorsey fires Hugh Jackson, is able to get the quarterback. I'm not saying Bill O'Brien should be fired, but you need to be able to support him, realizing that Hugh was not what Baker needed. And then this offseason, man, they went spending wild in Cleveland to support their franchise quarterback. And I believe that is the difference. Right now, Houston, they don't have a general manager in place.
It's unbelievable.
They got some guy.
Like, they literally don't have.
No, listen, Brian Gain got fired. They have some power structure where it's like a joint chiefs of staff, if you will. Right. Bill O'Brien, who you said, you're not saying you should fire him, but he certainly has been on the hot seat multiple times and escaped. He just keeps getting more and more power when you would think he would get less. The former Patriots team chaplain, Jack Easterby, is somehow one of their major decision makers, and that is the problem for Deshaun.
Yeah.
Because Deshaun has been brilliant. He took over at halftime of his first NFL game, and those next six games, he was outstanding. Now, he threw a bunch of interceptions, but he made enormous plays until he tore his ACL in practice.
He's running for his life.
And they've never put a good offensive line in front of him. And I think people forget how good he was last year after he really got his legs underneath him. First six games of the year, coming off the ACL, 9 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, a 91 rating, okay. The next 10 games, 17 touchdowns, 2 picks, a 112 rating, and was outstanding despite not having a running game, which they still don't, despite not having an offensive line, which they still don't, and led them to the playoffs, and they were bad in the playoff game. He was bad in the playoff game. They were bad in the playoff game against the Colts. Mm-hmm. People think that I'm down on the Texans because I didn't have him high on my list. It has nothing to do with Deshaun. I think if you flip-flop Deshaun and Luck or Deshaun and Baker, he would be extraordinary and those guys could potentially struggle.
No, he's not as good as Andrew Luck.
No. I'm not saying he's as good as Andrew Luck. Okay. I'm saying if you put him behind the Colts offensive line, we would see the best version of him. And I think that and right now the Texans offensive line, it's a 4th, a 5th, a 2nd, a 6th, and a 7th round pick. Now, they did spend a 1st and a 2nd offensive lineman this year, but they caught flat-footed in the draft. The Eagles traded one spot ahead of them to get the guy they wanted as a swing tackle in Andre Dillard, so they had to settle on Titus Howard. And the Texans are just always, right now you would say, why aren't they trading for Trent Williams? They have the second most cap space in football.
Yeah.
Well, the answer might be because who makes the call? When you don't have a GM, who trades for a guy like that? And Lamar Miller is still there going into his 4th year when he's never been great with the Texans. I don't think they're well managed.
Right.
And I think that prevents him and DeAndre, who should be one of the best quarterback wide receiver combos in football, from reaching their full potential.
Well, they're not well put together as well. And they've spent a lot of their cap equity on defense. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do with Jadeveon Clowney. We know that J.J. Watt, you know, even though he's a great Texan, you know, they pay him $100 million, and they haven't decided to surround. When you have a talent like him, you don't let Dwayne Brown walk away for peanuts. You make sure that you keep his left tackle to keep him upright and be able to support him with a good running game. Fuller's nice, but he's not, you know, a top 10 running back in this league. And Miller, they're going to have to eventually start surrounding this kid and building this team around him and transitioning from a defensive team to an offensive team and give him what he needs to be successful, because the league has changed. And he's shown that if you give him a little bit of talent around him, that he can be dangerous and explosive. His ability to buy time with his feet, his ability to throw the ball accurately down the field, the ability for him to come up big in the biggest moments has already been proven. He's already the leader of this team. He's a guy that's mild-mannered. He's a guy that walks around with the right proper respect for his teammates and for the veterans. Now you have to do what's right by him, and that's around him, because you're on a timetable, because in the next 3 years, you're going to have to pay him max money because he's that talented.
Just quickly, we all agree that he should be better than he is right now because of the pieces around him. He mentioned in this interview he did, that he would like to eventually follow the path that Aaron Rodgers has seemingly taken. One of the biggest takeaways was Aaron Rodgers is better off schedule than almost anyone else out there. He would love to work on that part of his game. But do you see a path whereby Deshaun Watson could even remotely come close to the kind of talent and career that Aaron Rodgers has had?
No, Deshaun, he has the type of talent that he can be one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. As far as playing off schedule, he's always played well off schedule. He's a better athlete than Aaron Rodgers. He takes more chances, though. When he wants to be in the breath of Aaron Rodgers, he wants to win a Super Bowl. He wants to be considered a top five quarterback. But ultimately, I think he wants the precision where I'm not going to throw the ball to the opposition. The difference between the good and the greats at that is I'm going to not turn the ball over. I'm not going to let them get their hands on the ball. And early in his career, he's done too much of that, and I believe that's the reason why people maybe don't necessarily give him the notoriety that he deserves.
And that's where he deserves the most credit for the first 13 games of his career, he threw 15 picks. It was a pick a game for him. Those last 10 games.
The most criticism.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The last 10 games, he threw two. If he can keep that up and not be sacked 62 times, yeah, which is a good way to have the football beat out of you, then it'll be fine. But that sack number, I don't think, is going to go down with that Texans offense.
4,100 yards passing, 500. That puts him in elite company.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.